This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the executive director of the World Sweeping Association. I couldn't be more pleased to be speaking today with one of the true pioneers of the power sweeping industry, worldwide in this case, because he was based in Canada, not the United States. The man we're speaking with today is Les Hulisko. He is the inventor of the SweepRite sweeper line, one of the first to incorporate hydraulics into the sweeping system. But before we get to that part of the story, for the archives and for the historical aspect of the power sweeping industry, I'm going to talk a little bit and then ask Les to talk a lot about how he first came to the West. And he is from Hungary, as our article says. He escaped from Hungary in 1956. But first off, Les, thank you very much for joining us, and then I look forward to having you tell us your story.
All right, Ranger. As you mentioned, I was born in Hungary, educated as an engineer in 1956 during the Hungarian Revolution against the Russians. I escaped Hungary and ended up in Austria. My initial plan was to immigrate to the United States, but because of the quota system, it was failed by the time I got out. I ended up in Canada with the idea of at one day I would immigrate to the United States. But as it turned out, I got a job in Canada. And when I went down to the United States, it was one of the first things that I did is I always wanted, grew up, to see the United States and live in the United States. So one of the first things as I arrived in Canada was have a visit United States. First of all, I ended up in Regina, Saskatchewan. So the closest American city to us was Minot, North Dakota.
I've been there, so I know where this is headed. Depending on what time of year you went, that's for sure.
Yeah, this would have been in 57, because I arrived in Canada in 1950, Hungary in 56, spent 8 months in France in a refugee camp. Then in 1957, I went into Canada with the idea that at least I'm across the water, I'll make my way through Canada into the United States. So, well, I said one of the first trip was in 1957 in the summertime, is went to Minot, North Dakota. And, you know, like, to me, the United States was Chicago, New York, skyscrapers, as my image that was in my childhood dreams or whatever. So anyway, when I go to Minot, North Dakota, it's funny, but you would think that when you cross the border, it's going to be skyscrapers.
Right.
So, of course, Minot, North Dakota is smaller than Regina. It's a small town. They have the same type of houses. The cars are the same. The television is the same. The people talk the same language. So, as it ended up, I said, well, there's no difference between. I just stayed, and I never, till now, that I partially live in the United States since I retired. I got a condo in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Finally made it to the United States, but it was a long and circuitous journey.
A long way around, yes.
Was it difficult when you came? Now, I know because I have several friends that were educated outside the United States, and now they come to the United States, very similar to coming to Canada. You got an engineering degree. Did that qualify you to wash dishes, or what did that qualify you for?
Well, pretty well. I couldn't speak the language. And really, there was very, very, like in Regina, Saskatchewan, very little industry as far as that goes. So one of my first jobs is actually the only job that I had other than my own business is I got a job as a window cleaner. So that's what I started out with. I left Hungary, by the way, with $2 in my pocket. But by the time I got into Canada, I had $75. So because I worked, worked and saved some money. I had a sport-related injury. I was an amateur wrestler. I had torn ligaments in my knee. This still happened in Hungary. So that, of course, finished my career as a wrestler. And then I re-injured when I got to Canada, just a young boy, 20 years old, pulling ground on a weekend. I re-injured my knee. So they put a cast on my island. And at the time I was working on construction, they were remodeling the airport, laying the runway and construction work. And so I couldn't perform my work as a, heavy laborer. So a friend of mine suggested that his boss was looking for to hire some. He was working for a window cleaning company, so I could maybe he would hire me. So I went over. I had a walking cast on my leg, and he says, "Well, how are you gonna? You can't climb." I said, "Well, but I could still clean the storefronts, the display windows on the street." And anyway, he hired me, and so I stayed with him for about a year and a half. And really, it was my break, if you would call it, because it was a very simple business, cleaning windows. The way he ran his business, it was really inefficient, in my opinion. Yet he still was bragging that he was making good money. And so I decided after a year and a half to open my own business. So this would be in 1959. It didn't take too much capital. I took my license out and started cleaning windows for myself.
And I understand you had you had some ideas of innovation in how to do that. What were your ideas?
Well, my idea was what happened is when I opened my own business, the contract for window cleaning or the government building came out, the tender. And I bid on them. I had no resources to take the big jobs or the big buildings. I bid on every building, but I bid very low on the small buildings that I could do myself. And on the bigger buildings, I bid so high that even by accident, I wouldn't get them. As it turned out, when they opened the tenders, I got all of them.
All. Oh, dear.
So, okay, what am I going to do? I have no money. So I was contemplating of throwing the towel in, just recall my tender. So I would leave it, for somebody else to do it. As I'm thinking what the heck to do, my old boss calls me and he says, Les, I got all these guys here because he used to have these jobs all the time. So they got nothing to do. Would you consider subcontracting? And, that's all I needed.
Right.
And, so I gave him we settled on a price, what it would be. And, of course, he was reluctantly accepted it. So I didn't have to do the big buildings. But, okay, to go back to, and that allowed me to get through the first year and made very good money from the subcontract, and also I was doing a lot of work myself. So, but getting back to next year, I bid, of course, and then I got the big buildings back. And it one of them was the Parliament building, and it's huge. It's absolutely, as for window cleaning standards at the time. And so what I did there is, there was a matter, but I don't know if you're interested in all of it, Ray.
Well, tell me about the, this is the first, you finally got to your skyscrapers you came for.
Yeah.
What do you understand that you had a little bit of innovation that you brought to the system? I'm interested, kind of for the record, what was your innovation?
My innovation, well, at the time, the method of cleaning windows, the small window panes, let's say 10 by 12, let's just say that, size of window. It's mm-hmm. not the size of the window, but the glass.
Yeah.
We have maybe, in these big windows, there might have been 50 panes of 10 by 12.
Right. I know what you mean. We call them chicken house windows here.
Right, right. Okay. And the method is to wet it with a sponge and then wipe it off with a chamois and then polish it. Now, window cleaning is at that It was a trade. You have, you know, like you were, it was a trade, window cleaning. And it took quite a bit of skill to do this properly, so it's not, wouldn't be sticky. But at the time, what I did is the squeegees were already used on the storefront. Now, I'm talking about, they said in 59, 60. And the squeegees were already for storefront, but they didn't use it for the small window panes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I cut the squeegees. That was probably $20 a piece at the time. They were professional squeegees, and I cut them to the size of the window panes that were.
So what you had to do is
with one swipe, you could do one pane of window. Just wet it and one swipe, and it would be, in my estimate, 100 times better job than when you try to teach somebody, unless you were really good at it. First of all, it was time-consuming,
So it opened up a whole new labor force for you, too.
I did it so fast, and I could pick up anybody from the street. Within an hour, he would do a better job. He would do a better job than somebody that had been cleaning windows for 10 years. So, at least 10 times faster. It was really new at the time, or anyway, in my area. It
sure.
It totally changed the way. And then the next thing was I bought a set of sky climbers, and that was brand new. Now, the sky climber is a still used, I don't know if it's under the same name, brand name or not. It was made in California. It is a patented device there was no limit to height, how high of a building you could go on, as far as lifting a swing stage on high buildings. And so I bought a set of sky climbers. I couldn't believe the price, because the whole this little device, it's a electric motor and some gears, it weighs only 75 pounds a piece. I needed two of them, but it was $2,200 a piece. Plus, I needed the platform, so it was a $5,000, $6,000 investment,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of money at the time. I tell you one more story that I learned.
Oh, that's a lot of 10 by 12 windows.
Yes. So, about the sky climbers, I couldn't believe the price of it, because I told the salesman that for $2,200, like for the two sets of for $4,000, I could buy two Volkswagens.
Right.
And he told me that if you could clean windows with Volkswagens, go ahead. So I learned that, because I made out very, very well by investing that money, because I was the only one investor in Canada to own this set of tools. So I had this really, to myself on all the high buildings, and they were coming up. So that's the sky climber story, Ranger. So then with this sky climbers, there were a lot of new construction in Western Canada, and I was doing these buildings, but the buildings were not equipped with the provision to hook my equipment on. So I designed some, like, different building needed different devices to hook the sky climber up. I went to one of the welding shops to do it, like I would do the designing, okay, then they would manufacture it, and then I would put it up on the building. And
would those stay on there permanently, or
some of it, because they were some of them were unique to the building. Okay, so they stayed with them, but I also had a portable one. But have to haul up the building and take it off,
right, okay.
That was a lot of work. So I ended up that I would make a deal with the owners of, I would leave it there, I would still own it, but as long as I cleaned the windows, the equipment, you know, like it would just stay there. If they happened to give it to somebody else later on, as other competition came along, then I would take the...
Sure, you'd wait till their sky climber was on it and then go take it off.
Yes.
let their sky climber go as it may. Is this the time?
They would have had to make their own arrangement.
Sure.
Yes. So it's kind of a little bit of a monopoly. But what happened is the contractors realized that I had some new ideas, and they started giving me jobs of if they needed something unique to build, I would do it. But then I hired my own man, a welder. Pretty soon I was in a miscellaneous ironwork business. Also, beside the window cleaning business, we were making iron railings, stairways, and all kinds of metal stuff. So then I got a fairly good contract from the government, simple things as a signpost for the park around the Parliament building, and it's called Voskhana, if you're in Regina, Voskhana Park. It's a huge, huge park in Regina. So it was a big contract that I was, like, I only had part-time workers at the time, because it wasn't really, we didn't have that much job, so I only hired part-time workers. But then after this big contract, I hired a guy of Alder four times. When the job was finished, again, it slowed down. This guy worked in a farm machinery manufacturing business, and one of the things that they were doing is building rock pickers. So when the job was finished, he says, well, why don't we build a rock picker?
He knew basically how the current ones were being built.
Yeah, the one that. So I said, well, go ahead and build one. So he went ahead and he built exactly the same as the other guys.